Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. Hope it's going to be a good day for you. We're really happy to be here. And on my sheet, it says that it's January 1, 1970.
I saw
Can't beat that.
That.
I did too. I just noticed that.
So happy new year, happy new decade.
Back and to the future.
Where were you well, in 1970?
Yeah, it makes me wonder what in the world I was doing in 1970. I was a junior in high school. That's what I was doing. So what were you guys doing in 1970?
I was 8 years old. I don't know if Chris even exists.
I was going to say, you guys don't want to know. I wasn't even a twinkle.
You were the glimmer in the eye. Oh, you weren't even the twinkle.
We got 5.5 more years before I grace planet Earth.
I was in second grade, so there you go.
Yeah. So I don't know when this is going to air. But it's probably not going to air January 1st, 1970. Or we have entered the Twilight Zone.
Exactly. Yes, back to the future.
I think that's true anyway. But you know.
Where's the flux capacitor in this studio?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flex and go right to a call from David in Los Angeles, KKLA. I'm not going to mess around. We're going to talk to people. Hello there. How are you today?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. What's going on with you?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, I was married, and I got a divorce last year, and I got saved by the grace of God about 2 years ago, and so I brought that home with me, and, you know, she didn't want none of it at the time. She was hurt. You know, I did pray for the restoration of my marriage, but during that time, you know, I fell out of love, to be honest, but we ended up getting a divorce. It wasn't a messy divorce. She was just really hurt, and I was really hurt, I guess, at the time. I didn't know it. You know, I knew God to heal me a lot. Anyway, so fast forward to right now, I went on with my life, and you know, it's still fresh. But I found I ended up meeting a Christian girl, and sparks flew, and we were doing everything, you know, what God intended we weren't a couple yet, but we were hanging out a lot, you know, doing these things, and just seeking God. But anyway, so at some point, my ex-wife gets saved. And me and this girl, we're starting to get a little bit closer and closer. I guess you could even say we're starting to fall in love. Sparks are flying. So my ex-wife comes to me the other day or a while back, whatever, and she told me that she had gotten saved and that she was seeking God and that she wanted me back in her life.
Hmm. Okay. And so what is the question for us?
I'm stuck now. So I went to my pastoral counselor, and I went to my pastor, and they said, hey, you know, just take a break of both of them right now, fast. So I went back to that girl, and I told her, hey, this is what we're going to do. She said, oh, yeah, I'm all for it. So it's been 2 weeks now. We started a new fast, but within 2 weeks, the other fast finished. And we went back, and things weren't the same, whatever. But I think what God told me was to be separate from both of them. But I still miss this girl a lot. But my ex-wife continues to call me and give me notes and, you know, just things like that won't go away. I don't want to break her heart, and I know I broke both of their hearts.
Yeah.
You know, cause I told them, hey, God told me to step away from everything.
Yeah.
Not to have be with you or her. And so the other girl, she was really hurt because she said, well, how does that work? I never done this. Yeah. I said, well, I mean, however you talk to guy friends, that's how you want. Well, she said, I don't hardly ever talk to him. I said, well, you can't hardly ever talk to me because then it becomes something more than that.
Okay,
so that really hurt her.
All right. So hold on a second. We got to go to a break. And what I'm excited about is that you were willing to be free of both. You responded. A lot of people wouldn't do that.
Yep.
So try to give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. There's probably a reason. And we hope that reason is that you're seeking truth and transformation. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that we're able to talk with David here. Last time I was on with Becky and Chris, I talked more than Geraldo talked when I was on his show. So I'm just going to start, first of all, let's start with you, Chris, and see if you can help David here in this this really tough dilemma for him.
Yeah. Well, David, to echo Steve, I'm really impressed that you're able to take that direction and take a fast. And I do believe that that's in the right direction because you had mentioned something that was really important. And you said, I know I've broken both of these people's hearts. And especially speaking to the experience with your wife, is that you both were hurt and that she was hurt. So hurt is going to happen in relationships, but we want to become better people, better relators all the time. And oftentimes that's going to be very hard to do when we're in the middle of intensity or we're in the middle of a relationship, especially a new relationship. And so what's really important here, I believe, is to take this continued time, a season, to get into some counseling, to get into some work and understanding what is inside of me that is unhealthy or harmful in the way that I show up to relationship, in the way that I do relationship. And can I partner with God in his continuing work to transform me into becoming a better relator, a safer person, a person who loves deeper, genuinely, but again, in very healthy ways. And then I can look at going back into establishing new relationship. Now, even if that was with your ex-wife, it's clear that the relationship that you had before will not work going forward. So no matter what you do, you need a new relationship going forward.
And Becky, what are your thoughts here?
Well, you know, remarriage is difficult, even if it's not to the same person. So let's say that, you know, you were talking about this new relationship that you have. There's work that you have to do to continue that healing from your first marriage. I agree with what you're saying, Chris. And David, you're going to have to seek the Lord and ask how long, you know, really just how long. And I would encourage you to cut off the connections, not in a angry way, but just literally so you can clear your head, because I think that's where some of the confusion is coming from. And you feel strongly towards these people, but I think that there is a bigger story about your divorce. Go ahead,
sure.
David.
So I've the one girl that I was seeing, she's totally with it. I mean, she's with everything about God. She don't want it. So she's actually, we were able to both pass away from that. But when I told my ex-wife, she just came to the Lord. She doesn't know how to do that. I mean, for everything, she's really struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she calls me for prayer, and then she calls me about the kids, and she, good night, and all these little things. I'm like, you know, man, it's just making it real difficult.
Okay, well, but you just mentioned you have children with your ex-wife?
Yes, older children. Everybody's older. There's no, mm-hmm. there's no baby.
Well, what does that mean? What does older mean? Like out of the house?
15 and up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then your relationship with your ex-wife is a little bit different because you're still parenting. You know, if they're 15, you know, you're still in the mix. So I think that's a little bit different. But I, you know, my concern would be that there are a lot of emotions going on as opposed to, let's sit down and have some really good conversation. So it might be that you and your ex-wife meet with a counselor and talk through some of the stuff that you're still struggling with so that you can even say to her, look, I know you want to reconnect with me, but I need to have that space, you know, because God's asking me to do this so that when you decide, whatever way you decide, it's not in an emotional reaction.
Hey, David?
And that would be... Go ahead.
Well, David, let me ask you...
Biblical counseling, right? Pastoral counseling, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, we want you to...
Okay.
You need counseling from somebody that's dealt with some really complex issues of Christianity, belief, faith, and action, and then also relationships. But let me ask you a really important question. If you could drive any car possible, what would you drive?
You don't want to know.
Tell me. Yeah, I want to know.
It would be a lowrider.
A lowrider?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So, what are you driving now?
A lowrider.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's, this isn't going to actually work, but I'll give it a shot. But let's just say somebody said, come over to my house, and there was a brand new lowrider. It was like the lowrider of your dream. And they said, you can have this brand new lowrider, or I can try to fix up what you've got and make it as close as possible. Well, if you're like most every man, you'd say, hey, if I can have this new thing, boom, I want it. Here's the problem. Your kids are in the back seat of the lowrider that you're driving. Mm-hmm. See, it's not just you deciding which car am I going to drive. You got kids. You've got kids at home.
Hey,
they need their daddy.
Can I say something about that?
You sure can.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
So I have a connection with my kids, and through Jesus, I had a lot of problems, but I have connection with them all. And I had just before she came, I just told them about this new spark, and I didn't know this, but my ex-wife told me that she would always ask if I asked about her, and she said, you know, they would say, look. Even one of them sat down and said, stop asking about him because he doesn't care about you anymore. They're older. They're over 15. I'm in the 20s already.
Listen, if you have a 15-year-old, mm-hmm. he needs daddy home.
Yes.
If at all possible.
Yes.
And so I mm-hmm. get it. I think every man listening gets it, that it would be really hard to go back in and work on you and the relationship with your wife. But it just is really hard for me to see any other path if your wife is now a new believer and you're a less new but new believer. Why don't you come to our intensive with your wife and let's see what happens there and see ex-wife. What you think might your ex-wife and see what might be a path. Because I think we'll help you understand why the thing went south and I mm-hmm. think we'll help you understand why it would be one amazing life to be the father of your children living with the mother of your children. Now, I know there's situations where somebody says something, but they don't mean it. But I'm saying, it sounds like to me, your wife is willing to do some work with you, if you are, and Christ could really be honored here.
And can I say one other thing, David? Here's the thing.
Yes.
The discussion about your romantic connection, whether it's your new girl or your ex-wife, really isn't part of a discussion with your kids, no matter what. Like, the 15-year-old doesn't need to be involved in that conversation. It's just too much for them. And so while you may feel like you have a good connection with them, it's better to just leave that off the conversation. And really, I would encourage you just to see how they're doing. You know, I know you say you're connected to them, but it can get real confusing.
Yeah, the only reason I had mentioned that to him is because I wanted to start bringing her around because, you know, I wanted to date. And I mean, it seemed like every time they came home, I would hang, you know, because they would stay with me all the time. But whenever they would come to the house, I would have to hang up the phone, and it felt like a dirty secret. So I didn't have anything to hide. So yeah.
It's not
okay.
So here's a reframe for that, though, David. It's not a dirty secret. It's discernment.
Yeah, right. David, I really know that. I mean, it's a tough dilemma. I hope you'll let us find a counselor for you. I think it could really help a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of growing that has to take place between a divorce and a new relationship. It's not just time. It's not just more Bible study. There's a lot of growth, and we want to help facilitate that. So hang on, and we're going to help you with that. Let's go to T from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. T, you're on. How are you? Thanks for joining us on New Life Live.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah, just speak right up. Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on? How can we help?
Yeah. Well, I suppose the call's been a long time coming, but I'll go with what I said to you screaming. My question, since I know you all like that, first, my question is where I could possibly go from here to save my marriage on the board.
What happened to your marriage?
My wife hasn't spoken to me today up until she sent me this text with a copy, whether real or made up, I'm not sure. Basically, the paper to sign my parts for divorce.
All right, so why don't you be real specific? Why would your wife want to divorce you?
Was a good belief that she can't count on me.
She can't count on you. Have you ever betrayed her in any way?
To some degree, yes.
And was that another person?
No. In the early years of my marriage, when she met me, I was still in a halfway house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And basically rebuilding my life as I had been kicked out of where I previously lived because I had put a virus accidentally on my sister's computer from looking at pornography at the time.
Mm.
From that time since, I had I guess I call that like my first reconstruction, being built back up and being able to, and honestly, I've never called it, so I would believe you get into the story of how at least the reprobation of that left me, but for the sake of time, and the main kind of thing is, also assured I've reconstructed my life that way where I wasn't retrograde into that. I stopped talking to people on social media, like as far as inboxing or messaging, showed her my willingness to show her, like if she asked, I would show her this is okay, here's my page and all of that kind of thing. But
would you say you tried to quit some stuff, but it kind of creeped back into this relationship or not? Is that true?
I suppose, in a matter of speaking, it's
okay. So what's the question for us? Yeah, what is the question for us? Because it is a little bit hard to hear. What's the question?
Okay, let me try this one. Better.
Is this better?
Yes, that's better. Yeah. Better.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. So what's the question?
Okay. Well, I was saying, how can I save my marriage while I have the chance? Because it isn't just that. It's, I've always, off and on, had issues with my punctuality. And like one of the founders or people with you on this, the late Dave Stoop, of whom I miss also, he once said that I find that people who are late often typically don't know how to deal with loss. And which coincides with one of the jobs, which I've had a number of jobs I've had, where we had one job I had to run things through security. And they had said that, you know something, one of your problems, because he wanted me to get things done fast, he said, you know, one of your problems is you don't know how to let things go.
Mm. Okay.
And,
All right, hold on.
I understand
hold on.
Maybe
we
there's a certain perfection.
We do have that music.
But I'll wait for the commercial.
Okay, we got to go to this break. But you're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help here. And if you can help us, it is the same number. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Chris, I'm going to just ask you to jump in here and try to help T.
Yeah, let's do this. So T, Chris here, and I really do want to help you, man, because there is a lot of anxiety and frustration and confusion. But one of the things that is a theme here is that there is something in you fundamentally that your wife finds untrustworthy. And that is a big, big deal. If we don't have trustworthiness, we can't build anything significant on top of that. It is the absolute foundation of any solid, strong, and intimate relationship. And so I think the first question you ask yourself is not, how do I save my marriage? The first question you ask yourself is, how have I become untrustworthy, and what is the work I need to do to become a more trustworthy person? How do I become more integrated in myself? And that looks like getting into a healing and growth process. It looks like getting into therapy. It looks like getting into close relationships with other men who can feed back to me, what do I have going for me that's good and healthy, and what do I have going against me that's not so good and not so healthy, and how do I make those adjustments? Because again, the healthier you are, the safer and more trustworthy you are for the people around you. And that I think is your singular direction here.
Becky, you're a female, and you know what perhaps her reaction is to untrustworthiness. What's something that she might resonate with if he were to do it or consider?
Well, it's interesting to me, T. It sounds like you were surprised by this request. I also noticed the distance, you know, that she sends you a text with this information. And yeah. Then your question is, where can I go to save my marriage? Well, right where you are, just like what Chris was just talking about. It sounds like you have a history with addiction. There needs to be recovery work. Mm-hmm. She's not going to make a choice to go back to you without the better version of you. And I don't know how long you guys have been married and, you know, if you have children together, but it sounds like she is a frustrated wife who has just done everything possible and she's at the last straw. Because, you know, and I just recently talked to somebody who is in that same place where she says, I don't know how many other ways I can explain to him that this has to be fixed. Mm. But going back to what you said, Chris, about that lack of trust, even small requests like being somewhere on time, you've recognized T as a problem, you know, that you have left unresolved. And so I think when you ask the question, where can I go to save my marriage? You can begin to save your marriage, maybe, because it's not all on you, but begin your work. Go to recovery meetings. Get with a counselor. Begin to practice, you know, being where you're going to be or being available where she needs you to be. But I also would also start with expressing to her, I don't want this marriage to end. What do I need to do? What do you mm-hmm. need from me?
Yes, and okay, so let me send you The Soul of a Hero. It's a great book. I'll send you Take Your Life Back, and I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, because that's where the real study mm-hmm. can go based on God's truth. I want to mention this. Some of you guys might be listening, and you're thinking, yeah, but what if it isn't really his problem? What if it's her problem? Well, he's given us some evidence here, but the reality is there are women who they want you to be perfect, and you're not. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're talking about here. You got to, you know, you can't expect perfection from a man, but you can expect what we would call predictability and consistency. And when you don't have that, then everything kind of goes awry. We want to help you with that, and really glad T called because I think he has a sincere desire to do something. The question is, are you going to do it? Because it's not.
Well, and even what you were saying, Chris, about his anxiety, you know, and this applies to some of the folks that we talk to on a regular, they are overwhelmed by what is happening in their life. Mm-hmm. Even though they can recognize the place that they have participated in where they are now. But it's just so overwhelming. I can't believe that my marriage is going to end. I can't believe I'm going to lose my job. I can't believe my adult child isn't talking to me anymore. All of these unbelievable things kind of shut us down. And in those moments, we need to ask for help. And of course, we can help you. Find somebody, get you to a group, get you to a workshop.
Well, and Becky, this is really important that you point that out, because so many times we feel overwhelmed inside of ourselves. We feel internally overwhelmed, and we immediately go to an external fix. If this new job, if this new situation, if this new relationship, or if my wife or husband would just change, then I would be better. But as long as we're looking for an external source, earthly source, to fix our internal problems, we're going to be incredibly disappointed.
Yeah. You know, you kind of have a religion of phonely, and that means if only they would change, I would be happy. If only the miracle would occur.
The church of if only.
If only I could just have somebody show up my doorstep and give me a job. And you can worship phonely, and it's not going to help you. People that live well, they get up in the morning and they know it's going to be good and it's going to be tough, and they're going to embrace both the good and the tough. They're going to love the good and learn from the tough. And when you do that every day, you end up with a future that's better than whatever today's going to be. See, we're futurists here. Live in the reality of today, and you create a future that you never, ever, maybe never thought possible.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, God wants to partner with you. God's given you some truth out of His Word, given you the Holy Spirit to convict you and comfort you. He wants to have a partnership. He wants you to cooperate with Him. And so often, we're just so into ourselves that we miss the power of a partnership with God. So we're just inviting you to say, okay, come on, God. I'm ready to partner versus ask you to be my genie in a bottle or my magician or my servant or whatever I want. I'm going to ask you. No, I want to be your partner. And one of the great joys of my life is, essentially, over the past, well, more than a decade, Larry Sonnenberg and I have partnered in trying to get this ministry and what we do to the most people possible. And one of the great gifts that Larry's been to the ministry is his integrity, credibility, and folks trust him, and they support the ministry because he's part of it. And Larry's in the studio. And Larry, I thank you for being that man. And all of the folks that trust us because they trust you and they trust God. And so how can people help us, or what are you thinking about today? Well, what do you want to share with us here on January 1st, 1970? our fake date for today.
Well, thank you, Steve, for that compliment. That's really nice of you. But it starts with you, so thanks. Right back at you. I want to share three short little testimonies about this program and what it means and why we want you to keep supporting it. And if you've never supported it, start now. Okay, you guys give me a different perspective of individuals that I deal with in my family. Anger, depression, borderline personality disorders, dysfunction, substance abuse. Listening to New Life helped to approach all individuals with love. My world's changed much for the better by just learning how to deal with issues from a positive perspective. And then this person writes, I basically grew up with New Life. My mom introduced me to Steve, Henry, and John's books, which we read and discussed together. Now I'm a school counselor, and people might describe me as the boundaries queen. And then this last one, I've been a Club New Life member for a long time. I'm mentoring a young woman through a heartbreaking divorce. We read the books you recommended, especially on parenting. I couldn't do it without you. I love this because each one of these talks about the effect of this ministry, not just on their lives, but it's on to other people. You know, this second generation, this lady is a man or woman that's now a school counselor. Mm-hmm. And this other person whose family is, like all of our families, fairly messed up. And it's helping him approach it. And then somebody who's mentoring somebody. You know, folks, this outreach of New Life just goes beyond what you think. It's not just what you hear that takes effect in you, but it's how you live your life afterward that affects so many other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there are so many different ways for us to get confused and lost and off track. And I hope and pray that every day that New Life has been in existence, we've tried to keep people from over-spiritualizing and trying to simplify and just, you know, learn a verse and life is going to be different. And on the other extreme, you know, thinking that everything I need to do is all about psychology and getting therapy. It's a combination of the power mm-hmm. of God and God's mm-hmm. truth with people that have learned how to help you get to the heart of the issue so you don't have to struggle with it. And we're so grateful for all of you who've come along and supported that.
And
very grateful.
You said it really well, Steve, just at the beginning of this, is that it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We do a lot of work, but the Holy Spirit is what makes the difference in hearts and minds. And if you can support that, we would appreciate your giving. So thank you very much.
All right. And, you know, I'll send you, our way of saying thanks, I'll send you a copy of this 365-day, one-year life recovery prayer devotional. It's really a sweet, sweet publication, and we'll get that to you, our way of saying thank you. And thank you to you, Larry, for all you've done.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
This is Larry's last program with us because it is 1970, and he's not even here. But thanks for dropping by, Larry. Appreciate
he's
it.
He's got to go to his college class.
Yeah. I wonder who put that on there. I know. Well, anyway, we'll see. But thanks, Larry. Okay. Love you. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number. Let's talk with, how about we talk with Donna? Mobile, Alabama. Let's see what those letters are. WBHY is the station. How are you? What's going on in your life today?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Little hip pain. Not about me. Go ahead.
Yes. I had some issues. I got married for the second time in 2018. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my husband was doing temporary supervised visitation at his ex-wife's house in the basement. And she lives in Birmingham, and we lived in Mobile. He had moved to Mobile prior.
Why was he having to be supervised?
That's the thing. He His father and best friend had died, and he was depressed, and he went to some counselors when they were married, and she kept them going, and then they kind of switched his, medical diagnosis around, and they said it was bipolar, and then they switched it back to depression, and then they finally said it was schizoaffective disorder, which he was misdiagnosed, basically, mm-hmm. and they put him on a lot of medication, and she wanted him to be a stay-home dad, so he got a disability for his mental disorder to be a stay-home dad so that he could be the stay-home dad. But
okay.
She was kind of psychologically abusive to him and physically, and finally he had enough, and he left and moved to Mobile where his mom lived.
Okay.
And then
so how can we help you? What's going on with you and him?
Basically, well, when I first met him, you know, like I said, he was doing visitation there because the place that he was originally going to temporarily had closed down. He didn't have the money to get back to court, such like that. But basically, we went back to court. I was a paralegal for 20 years. It seemed fairly easy to do. It said in the divorce that he just had to prove that, you know, he had was okay. We had 4 different psychiatrists say he was perfectly fine. He just had an adjustment disorder. And we ended up getting visitation, but because he was already here in Mobile at the time he signed his divorce, the judge said he had to do visitation up there.
Okay.
So we were driving back and forth.
Okay. So get to the issue that we could help you with here.
Okay. So the issue is... his ex-wife basically alienated him from his child. We were doing visitation for a year. It was going wonderful. The child loved it. And then all of a sudden, the child said, "I don't want to see you anymore, Dad. There's too much strife between you and Mom." Hmm. And it was one weekend, you know, and so, okay. So we knew that wasn't him talking. We knew it was her putting him up to it. Now, nothing. He tries to call, he texts, he does all kinds of stuff with no response, don't get any answer.
That's right.
We haven't seen him in a year. This has been going on. So for a year I've been praying and asking God to soften her heart, you know, let her realize that, you know, child needs a dad in his life. He's 12. Yeah. And soften her heart. And when I mention it to my husband, like, well, you know, maybe you should try to call him again. Well, of course he does, and you don't get no answer, and you don't get no response. We didn't get anything. We sent Christmas presents, didn't get anything. We don't even know if he liked them or anything. But he gets, my husband's done. He's done. She made it hell the whole year we were going visitating.
Well, okay, so
Donna,
what?
Made it Donna, horrible.
Go ahead, Becky.
Donna, here's what I hear, is there's a part of me that thinks that you would like to pursue this, and yet he doesn't want to. Is that right?
Right. It's not that I want to pursue it. I would love for us. He would like to pursue it too. He just don't want to go through all that hell again, and I don't blame him. I don't either, because got an early onset of leukemia from it.
Right. But so here's the thing. You have a 12-year-old child, And they need to have a connection with their dad in some form. And there are some legal steps that you can do to re-engage, but I would encourage mm-hmm. you to continue to send cards, to do whatever you have to do, because eventually that 12-year-old's going to grow up and he's going to know that his dad didn't give up on him. And that can make a huge difference in his life. And so, yeah, it's a struggle. It's all a struggle. But, you know, gosh, I'm thinking about this 12-year-old who, you know, he's going to be abandoned. And right now it sounds like he thinks he understands, but he doesn't. He's 12.
We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Becky, you want to continue here and talking about... Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. Divorce is hard. I don't care who it occurs to, but it's really hard on the kids. And then when you mm-hmm. have this big distance and then all the other stuff that goes along with it, your challenge, Donna, you and your husband, your challenge is to not go back to the old drama, but get focused on the fact that he has a 12-year-old son that needs to have a relationship with his father that's positive, that's not into the drama. And, you know, and right now it sounds like all you're going to have, you know, is, you know, try to call, maybe send an email or whatever, you know, letters. But you have to, so that when he gets older, he looks back and he sees who was fighting for him.
But Becky, I think that that speaks actually to the primary problem. The primary problem is not the ex-wife. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, she sounds like she has a lot of toughness that's very damaging. But the primary problem, Donna, is you married a project. And this guy, this guy loves being rescued and therefore has every excuse to remain passive, including passive towards his own son. I'm sitting here listening to the story and I'm like, ex-wife is in direct violation of a court order. This is a slam dunk. This is a legal slam dunk here. That she is in. So why aren't you calling, and I mean, this is kind of harsh for me to say, but why aren't you calling an attorney instead of us?
Because attorneys want about $10,000 to $20,000 to step into a courtroom nowadays.
Not all attorneys.
Not all. So, Donna, this is what I want to speak to, and I want to speak to you directly and kindly at the same time, and that's going to be kind of hard.
Yes, sir.
We've got to stop making excuses for your husband. We gotta stop doing it because there's a 12-year-old's heart that's on the line here.
Right.
And I understand that now. And hold on, I'm not done. How old is your husband?
He is 49.
There's a 49-year-old 12-year-old's heart on the line. Do you get what I'm saying there?
Yes.
Okay. He's gotta step up. I want you to stop rescuing his situations and you asking him to step up into his own life, to take responsibility. He, of course, to get help in that. This isn't just a pure bootstraps. You know, much like Steve is saying, it's like we need help along the way. But to isolate and to go the passive route will have tremendous consequences for the people around us, including ourselves. And so I want the focus to shift from what do we do about the ex-wife to what do we do about husband?
Right. And that's my problem is whenever I bring it up, like, have you spoke to your son this week or last week? No. I tried to call him, you know, and he gets kind of irritated with me because it was so harassing that we just went through so much together during that. Or it was our first 2 years of marriage, and I was a paralegal for 20 years, so we did all that pro se in order for him just to get his normal visitation, and it almost destroyed our marriage.
Yeah, absolutely, because you are over-functioning that allows him to under-function. And so now it's your job is to stop over-functioning for him.
Well, and I'm thinking maybe instead of asking if he's talked to his son, you say, have you gone to your group meeting? Have you seen your counselor?
Yes.
I mean, maybe you start there, Donna, and then maybe the two of you get with a counselor because this is affecting your relationship. That's how you started. But I agree with you, Chris.
Right.
Well, I think Chris said it. It's painful to hear, but you did. You married a project. Yeah. And when we marry projects, we need a project manager, and we're using the one
that's right
to do it. And so I'm going to try to find a counselor for you to help you and him get things moving forward. You know, we're about out of time, but Jane from Savannah, Georgia, has been holding a long time, and I want to just see what we can do for her in a very short length of time. Jane, how are you today, and how could we help you? We'd like to if we could. So far, so bad here. I don't hear Jane. Does anybody else?
Nope. Jane, are you there?
No, Jane. Jane must have hung up or whatever. I don't blame her. She held for a very, very long time. All right. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, let's just stop for a minute here on January 1st, 1970, which is what our sheet said, but we know it's not that. But if it was, you know, probably since then, if you were alive, you've made some mistakes. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to learn from them? And learning from a mistake isn't saying, oh, I'll never do that again. No, learning from a mistake is saying, here is why I was vulnerable, because I got some help and somebody helping me figure that out. Here's why I was vulnerable to that mistake. Here is how it hurt other people, the impact of my mistake on other people. Here's what I'm going to do to try to make it right with them. And here's the work I'm going to do so that if those circumstances or feelings present themselves again, I'm not going to succumb to the temptation that I came to. And then we can move forward. Mm-hmm. Think about this. If every day you were able to grow a little bit and your life became a little bit better. Boy, you put one day like that on top of another, and all of a sudden living one day at a time and growing a day at a time creates the life that God intended for you to live. And by the way, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. I believe God has an intended life for you. He has a purpose-driven life, and he has a repurposed-driven life. And no matter what you've done, he can take it and work with it and make it something really spectacular and special. That's what we want to happen.
Absolutely. I think about January 1st, 1970. I was not alive yet, but but my dad was. And he was, I believe that would have been a date that he would have been on the ground in the field in Infantry 1 in Vietnam. He came back from that experience with PTSD. And that unaddressed, unhealed pain that he carried from what he witnessed and experienced on the war field went with him through his entire life. And so whatever our war that we have been through, whether it be a literal war, whether we have come back from Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever the case may be, or whether we're still carrying wounds of Vietnam, or whether it be the war field of our own heart, maybe it was our own home, maybe it was a relationship, a job, maybe it was an abusive situation. We need to take the courageous action to address it, to heal it, and to grow and move through it and beyond it. Because if we don't, the war that we experience out there will only continue to be the war that we experience inside of ourselves. And that war will play out in our relationships around us and keep us in places that are stuck. And so it's time that we all do a little bit of war field recovery and, and get into our work and get into healing and just exactly what you said, Steve, so that we become more available vessels for God to do his good and perfect will in and through us.
So we want to do war with God, not have a war on God and what God is trying to do in our lives. And, you know, when you think about Gideon, he had to let go of some people that were really good fighters. But there was a problem. And so sometimes we have to become more vulnerable, get rid of some strengths or things we think are strong points for God to take over and win the battle. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Becky, and thank you, Chris. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and support.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.